Hebrews chapter 13, let's stand together. We're just going to read one little verse and then be seated. In fact, Hebrews 13, and look at verse number 8. Okay, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I want to preach tonight on this title, Christ Before Christmas. Christ Before Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message tonight? Maybe teach us a little bit, remind us a little bit about what the Word of God teaches. And then, Lord, would you challenge us here in a little bit with the points and the applications. Just help us, encourage us, challenge our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in our hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We know that today is a day when we think about and we focus on that baby in a manger. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So, of course, Christmas time is about, you know, the kind of that focus on the birth of Christ. Well, we know that you and I in here tonight, we know that we are saved because of the truth found in the New Testament about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that he did not stay a baby. We know he wasn't here just to be born a baby so we could have some holiday to celebrate and spend a bunch of money and go to 14,000 houses and all of that stuff. As the song says, he was born to die. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, we'll go to some Old Testament passages in a minute. I'll let you turn there. But it said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. If you were in my class in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about presenting the gospel. And there he says it again. And you can't present something you haven't received yourself. But if you've received salvation, you don't have to have a 10-week class in order to tell somebody about Jesus and how to be saved. Those are a blessing, but you don't have to have a Bible college degree to tell somebody, I realized I was lost on my way to hell, and I realized I had a Savior that died for me. So the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that it was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and then it gives a list of people that saw him after he arose from the grave. So we celebrate a baby this weekend, but more than that, we celebrate the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then we know that we have hope because one day Jesus will come again according to the Bible, and he's going to come back for us, whether it's at death, whether it's at the rapture, we know he's going to come back for us. So after the Lord had risen from the grave and had been seen for 40 days of all the different disciples, it was time for him to go back to heaven. And in Acts chapter 1, we find that verse 9, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand and you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Of course, I love it that the Bible it agrees with itself from passage to passage. And one day the Lord is going to come in the clouds, as 1 Thessalonians 4 also tells us. So we celebrate a baby. More than that, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And more than that, we celebrate because we know one day we're going home to be with Jesus in heaven. Now, I'm glad I serve a risen Savior, and I'm glad that I serve a soon-coming King. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord came back on the day of the election? And these guys are all battling out, or I win. Well, they didn't count the votes, and they cheated, and whatever. And the Lord just stepped out on the clouds and says, you know what? We're just going to call it a day right here, and went ahead and called us home. What a blessing that would be. Now, I know that tonight I'm speaking primarily to a crowd that knows your Bible. It's a Sunday night. So you know that that baby in a manger was not the first existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. For sake of seeing it, turn to John chapter 1. And our young people, for sake of you guys seeing it in your Bible, turn to John chapter number 1. Now, this is just kind of by way of intro, but it's also going to take us to the thought that the Lord gave me for tonight. John chapter 1. And verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then, of course, you jump down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible tells us, if you want to jump to John 17, but in Hebrews 1, the Bible tells us, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners and many different times, many different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. You can't make the worlds if you're not there when it's time to make them. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Bible tells us over there in John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying, He says in verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory," notice this, "which I had with Thee before the world was. And Colossians 1 tells us that by Him, it speaks of Christ and says, by Him all things exist. There when God was creating the heaven and the earth and creating mankind, He made this statement in Genesis 1 and verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Well, the Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when He says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, that the person there would be the person Jesus Christ. Okay, so Christ existed before what we like to commemorate as Christmas. So I want to show you tonight Christ before Christmas. Not only did He exist, but Jesus was active in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have what are called Christophanies. They are pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. That means before Jesus took on the form of man as a baby, as a child in Mary's womb, there are other times in the Old Testament where Jesus appeared before the saints of God and others that saw Him. So I just want to take three of those passages tonight, three of those examples to show you Christ before Christmas, and then more than that, I want to see what three applications these passages can give us for our life also. Okay, so let's start with Genesis chapter 18. Turn to Genesis chapter number 18 with me tonight, and I'll give you three, and then we'll get you out of here and back to your sleep and slumber. It's probably a sugar coma is what it is for most of us. And so Genesis chapter 9, the guys are like, "Man, I shouldn't have eaten that last cookie." The girls are like, "Did I get everything wrapped? Do I still have to wrap something when I get home? Did I forget? Oh, I think I forgot Aunt Thelma. We got to get to the store. We got to get her something. Everybody's got to have something. You know, we got to." Y'all have fun with that. Amen. Genesis chapter number 18. Unless you're like, "Man, we didn't think to get the pastor anything." Then you get out to Bass Pro Shop tonight and get that taken care of. So no. All right, Genesis chapter 18. All right, number one is going to be this: God's power. God's power. I want to see God's power that's available in your life and in my life. Look at Genesis 18. And the Lord, and everybody in Brother Hallmark's class needs to perk up on this chapter. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He appeared before Abraham. Who appeared before Abraham? The Lord. Some passages you have to kind of figure out, is that a Christophany? Is that The Lord appeared before Abraham. Verse 2, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. A regular angel would have told Abraham to stand up. He said, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that, you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, honey, is the microwave working? Said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the, what, how do you even say that word? Hearth? Hearth? We got all kinds of stuff. See, I should have, for those of you going to Evan, that would be make it upon the earth there, I guess, right? If you're humble going to Evan and you have hope because you know you trusted Christ. I used to get preacher friends fits about that. Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, the Lord said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were in Brother Hallmark's class. We're talking about God's power. Now I know if you're in Brother Hallmark's class, you're not looking for that type of power upon your life, right? But it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. That means they were at least 50 at this moment in my life. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now we're cutting up because you know the story. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? I love this verse. Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham, it's going to make some of you take blood pressure pills to calm down. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. I can barely handle adult children at 49. Could, those of you who think, man, I'm telling you, my dad's grouchy. My grandma's grouchy. How would you like to be born into a family and your daddy is 100 years old? Yeah. Well, let me just tell you stories about when I was a kid. Oh, here we go. 100 years old. That's a Christophany. That's Christ before Christmas. That's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And it teaches us that there is not a thing that's too hard for the Lord to do. God's power. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you think anything in your life right now is too hard for God to handle? I don't know what you're taking into the new year. I don't, you know, there's a lot of laughter and a lot of gifts and a lot of going places, but there are some in here, and you're going to go into January 1st and still have the health problems. You're going to go into January 1st and you're still going to have the financial battles, and maybe you're still going to want that new job, or you're still going to be waiting on that promotion, or you're still hoping your kid will kick it in when it comes to the homeschooling and get serious about their work, and some of you are you're concerned with your future and so forth, and aren't you glad, as we said this morning, that one of the benefits, the gift that keeps on giving, is that we can go directly to the throne room of grace anytime time of day or night. So whatever's going on in your life, whatever, maybe someone knows about it, maybe they don't, but we serve a powerful God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't just read it, believe it. Don't just hear it preached, believe it in your own life and pray as such and say, man, listen, if God can give a child to a 100-year-old man, if God could make himself a baby in a virgin's womb, if God could raise the dead, if God could save me, God could open up the door in my life for if it's his will, if it's what he wants, right? So we see God's power. Well, you know, kind of that same statement was made back in the days of Christ and John the Baptist and everything going on there. And the angel said this in Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so maybe you're one that struggles with doubts about things. How's this going to work out? Maybe you should just write the word nothing across your mirror. And every day you wake up, remember, nothing is impossible with God. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, he said. We serve a powerful God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Jesus made the statement to his disciples about how hard it was for a rich man to be saved. And they, those disciples said, well, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And so seeing Christ before Christmas tonight, lesson number one is, don't ever doubt God's power in your life. Turn to Genesis chapter 32. I'll give you number two. Genesis chapter number 32, another Christophany here that we see. Genesis chapter number 32, we're going to see Jacob here wrestling with the Lord. He wasn't wrestling with a spirit. He was wrestling with a person. He was wrestling with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you here about God's providence. All right, lesson number one is God's power. Lesson number two is God's providence. Look in Genesis 32 and verse number 22. The Bible says, and he rose up that night. This is speaking of Jacob. He rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And that word, Jabbok, means it means emptied. It means poured out. And this is exactly the condition that Jacob was in at this moment because of the crazy things that were happening all around him and in his life. And he took them and said, he sent them over the brook and sent over what he had, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. It's a Christophany. They wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Just the touch of God. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. So he knew. He knew who he was facing. And he, Christ, said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. This was God in the flesh, battling here with Jacob. And God changed his name. He said, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and the Bible says there, he halted upon his thigh. Okay, Jacob had a rough time up to this point. And honestly, in the days ahead, as you get into the next chapters, in the days ahead, he was going to see rough days. Now, I hope you had a good year. I hope next year is a good year for you and for me. But none of us knows what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow, all right? And we do know who holds our hand, as the song says. One thing that Jacob learned, though, during that rough time in his life by wrestling with Jesus is that God is going to have his way. His will is going to be done, and that even though Jacob was limping, he could go on in the power of God and trust in God's providence. Now, there are going to be things that happen in our life we never recover from. We never recover from. I don't think you'd ever get over losing a parent. I don't think you ever recover from losing a spouse. I don't see how you could ever recover from losing a child. But we can trust God and lean on Him for grace and strength and know that He loves us. You may have big plans in the new year, and think you're about to get some special promotion at work, and it may fall through, but you don't quit. Yeah, you may limp a little bit. It may set you back, but you trust in God's providence. The word providence means the care and superintendence which God exercises over His people. God is in control, and I have to learn to trust Him with my life. Now, I'm one of those. I'm a fixer. I don't want to talk about things. I want to fix things and find a way to fix it. But guess what? There are things in our life we cannot fix. Because if we fixed it, you know what? We'd be spoiled to death if we always got everything we wanted, how we wanted. Have you ever thought that maybe our old deceitful heart, you ever thought maybe God knows better than we know about what we can handle in our life? You know, you might be praying about that bass boat, and it may be God saying, you know what, that'd take you out of church. This is what I want. This is what I want. We need to trust the hand of God. I do believe that God controls the affairs of men. And yes, we can pray. And prayer moves the heart, that moves the hand, that moves the world. But we have to trust Him when we don't get our way. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you." Listen, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Oh, so He's not at our beck and call. So we're not here for God to put a smile on our face. We're here to put a smile on God's face. Amen. "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Why didn't it work out? Why didn't we get our way? Why didn't we get our prayers answered? I don't know. I don't understand it. I may never understand it. I may spend the rest of my life limping over that heartache in my life or that disappointment in my life. Don't get jealous because others get something you didn't get. Don't think that way, because that's showing an ingratitude to God, and it's showing a distrust, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so when you look at another couple and they got what we had prayed for, why do they have this and they have that? Friend, we just need to trust that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, that cares about us. And as Jacob was going through tough times, man, he got up and he halted upon his thigh. So yeah, he had some issues. Yes, he limped through life, but he learned, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Lesson number one is God's power. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Don't be afraid of that. I don't care if you want $1 million. Don't be afraid to ask God. Just don't be afraid to ask God for what it is in your life. But then also, let's learn the lesson of God's providence. With God, nothing is ever going to be out of control in my life. God is working in my life as a born-again child of God. And sometimes I do not understand, why did we have to go down that route to get to right here? But Father knows best, right? And God knows best. So lesson number one is God's power. Lesson number two is God's providence. The last one is over in Daniel, and you're going to know where I'm headed here, but the lesson over in Daniel. A lot of these young adults in here, I've known them since they were little kids, and so I can cut up with you guys. But man, I was studying this week, and this is funny. This is what came to my mind. In my privacy of my study, can any good thing come out of anything named Daniel? Man, let's see. You know the story of Daniel chapter number 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They wouldn't bow down. Our God will save us from the fire, but if not, we're not going to bow down. Okay, so let's skip all of that. Nebuchadnezzar is very upset. He's going to throw them in the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3, let's start in verse 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now, pay attention to how hot this furnace was. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's how hot that was, that the people that took them to cast them in, they died. Verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. By the way, we don't have to figure out if this is a Christophany. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. This is amazing. Nor was a hair of their head singed. You ever lit a grill that just wouldn't light? And suddenly it lit? Boof! First thing you do is, all right, eyebrows are still there. My wife won't make fun of me. Then you smell your hand because you have like curled up. Yeah, yeah. The fire had nor was a hair of their head singed. And this is even more amazing. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You could walk outside, catch one person burning leaves, be out there for 30 seconds, and you come in, somebody's going to say, man, you smell like smoke. How'd that happen? God. I believe the Bible. The third lesson is God's presence. The fire did not destroy them. The fire did not kill them. The fire did not harm them. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, that we're saved, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Man, I'm glad I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and I got a church and my family's in church, and I've got a Bible and I've got a Savior and I've got a prayer life. And man, what a benefit it is to be saved. But above that it says, but though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold or many different types of temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm glad that no matter what fiery trials I face, the Lord will go with me through those trials. And I can't promise you that next year is just everything's going to be great and every day is going to be joyous. I could almost tell you it's not going to be. But I know this. I have a Savior who said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I know this. At the end of our life, we can have the same testimony that the Apostle Paul had at the end of his life, where he said, you know what? He forsook me. They forsook me. They did me much evil. But he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And so I'm glad that I have a Savior who, no matter what I go through today, tomorrow, this week, this month, or next year, God's going to be present with us through it all. So, Christ before Christmas. Three lessons. Number one, God's power. You say, I don't know how I can. Well, I know how God can. Well, I just don't see how this is ever going to work. Well, Abraham kind of said that in a way. He might have thought it. How's this going to work? I'm 100 years old. And God said, just, hey, weak human, I got this. Trust in God's power. Trust in God's providence. He is God, and he can do what he wants. But rest assured in God's presence, no matter what he does allow us to go through in life, he'll be right there with us, going with us through the fire. No matter what I go through as a child of God, he's always there. So there's several Christophanies in the Old Testament. There are others. But I just wanted to take those three tonight, those examples of Christ before Christmas, and encourage us all about the goodness of God and some more. We talked about benefits this morning, but some more of the benefits of being his children. You have God's power in your life. You have God's providence. He's in charge. He's in control. He has not forgotten about you. He didn't wake up and make a mistake. He didn't just for a week let you go and then all of a sudden things went haywire in your life. God is in full control. But then he said, you know what? No matter what I bring into your life, my grace is sufficient for you and my presence is going to be sufficient for you. If God brings you through it, God's grace. If God brings you to it, God's grace will bring you through it. And he'll be right there all the way, no matter what you face. All right?